Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey A to Z listeners, this is Jack here, and if you would like to become an exclusive subscriber to the show, you can hit the link in the description, and that will take you to our Red Circle page, where for $1.99 a month, you will get access to an extra 2 or 3 episodes each week. And be careful, don't hit that donation button if you want to become an exclusive subscriber, because the donation button is just a one-time donation. However, the exclusive subscriber button will give you access to the extra 2 or 3 episodes each week. So make sure you hit that exclusive subscriber button if you want access to the extra episodes. Now, let's get on with the show. Welcome to the A to Z English podcast. My name is Jack, and today we have a very special episode for you. I am doing an interview with Johnny, and Johnny is from China, and we're just going to have a conversation today and, see where it leads. So, Johnny, tell us a little bit, like, where are you from in China exactly?
Hi, Jack. Hi, the audience of A to Z English podcast. My name's Johnny. And I'm from China, and I'm living in China at the moment. So it's a great honor to me to be on the show with Jack.
It's an honor to have you here. You're a longtime listener, and you always send us comments and things like that, and we really appreciate your support. It's awesome. Where in China are you from exactly? Like, what city do you live in?
I'm from a city called Fuzhou. That's like the southern part of China. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the south of China, basically.
Okay.
It's awesome. Like a coastal city here. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they've got amazing seafood there.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard of the place, but we've actually got a lot of fellow countrymen everywhere. Especially, you will find a lot of my people from my hometown in New York. Okay, so in Chinatown, so a lot of them are from Fuzhou, actually. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So they still speak
the native language in it's like a dialect.
Right. Like so a lot of people there speak that dialect. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Johnny, a lot of our listeners would love to know, they just from listening to you talk right now, they're probably in awe because you have such a strong command of the English language. And
thank you.
When we do interview episodes like this, we love to ask our guests, how did you what was your language journey? Starting from when you were young, when did you start learning English? What was your trajectory?
Yeah, in China, so I think it's pretty much the same in the Korea. So we started learning language in our primary school.
Mm-hmm.
So we have
third grade in Korea is when they start.
Third grade, yeah, the same. Oh, it's interesting to find out Korea's the same. Yeah, so it's like third grade, and we'll learn it all the way up to some people up to high school.
Mm-hmm.
High school. So we have in the big exam, for entering university, you will be tested.
Just like Korea.
Just like
but,
Korea, right?
But that test, am I not mistaken? Because I do teach some Chinese students. That test is very grammar based. I mean, so it's a lot
Exactly.
of
Yeah,
just
that's
grammar,
the
grammar, grammar, right?
Yeah, and well, actually, we don't really learn spoken English in China, so it's not that focused on spoken English. So they can, well, like, I've been previously, I had been learning English for many years, but I can barely speak three words of English because I've never spoken to anybody in China. So we don't really have the language environment here in China. That's the problem. I don't know if it's the same in Korea, like.
I think it's the same in Korea. I think that they've implemented certain strategies to try to overcome that problem because there are a lot of private academies in Korea, which I'm sure there probably are a lot of private schools in China as well, where students can start learning English at a younger age and have exposure to like a native English speaker from Australia, America, Canada, whatever. But those are expensive. Not everyone can afford those. So, some kids are stuck with the public school system where it's like a Korean teacher or a Chinese teacher lecturing in Chinese or in Korean, but they're teaching English, which is doesn't really make a lot of sense, when you think about it.
Yeah, so I think we're in desperate need for some good English teachers like you in China. So, but unfortunately, we don't have that many native speakers who teach spoken English in China. So that's basically the situation here.
Okay, so take us back. So
And
you're so
yeah.
Johnny's in primary school, and are you going to a private academy or are you using the public school system?
I'm pretty much using the public school system. Yeah. So just like anybody else in China. Okay. So I wasn't in any language training school or anything. I didn't like English all that much, to be honest.
I was just going to
When
ask you
I
that
was a
question.
kid,
I was
right?
like, I
That
bet
was
you
just
hated
another
it
stuff.
passionately,
Yeah.
vehemently,
In a sense, yeah. In a sense, like it was just another subject for me. Okay, I think I did okay in middle school, but in high school, like it falls off, I think, pretty badly in high school. So, I didn't do so well in the college entrance exam for my English. Okay, so I didn't wasn't a really good English speaker.
Yeah, that's shocking to us, because listening to you
probably
right now, this
not
conversation, I'm
even.
like, how is this possible? Like, what something obviously something happened along the way there that was like
Yeah,
a real watershed like moment for you where you did something dramatically different than, following the school curriculum.
I wouldn't say I wasn't even a good English learner, let alone a speaker. Okay, so I think things got changed when I decided to go to Australia, okay, for further study. So I think and I started learning English, like proper learning English before that, because you have to pass the exams, you have to pass English exam before you can go there. I think that's where I got started. But I noticed, okay, so this is actually kind of interesting to
So did you make the
learn a
decision
language.
to go to Australia before you started learning English, or were you already in the process of learning English,
No, so that was all after I decided to go to Australia.
Wow, that's real like trial by fire. You're like, oh my gosh, I've made this commitment and
Yeah,
now
then you're and sort of force yourself to be committed to this. So you gotta do whatever you can, to because this is the so you've you this is the choice you made, so you've got to commit to that.
What was it like when you first arrived in Australia? How was your English at that time?
I think things got changed a bit after I went to the language school before I go to Australia. So I think I kind of discovered that I have this interest in spoken language, because I started to really see if your English movies. Okay, I think that's what started me off. in the first place.
What kind of movies were you into? Are you like
Oh,
action
okay.
movies?
that was an interesting question because that was so many years ago. Okay, so the one I can well, this is sort of giving it away about how many years ago. So I think that was like a movies. Well, actually, when I started off, I watched some of the older movies. Okay, like the movies from someone's from the 90s, like Terminators. Okay,
Oh
because
yeah,
that
sure.
was one of my
Terminator 2.
favorite.
Well,
Yeah,
Johnny,
Terminator 2. Yeah.
I was in high school when that came out, so that gives away how old I am.
And Terminator, that because that was the all-time classic. So I started seeing all those classic films. Like I remember this one called Negotiator. I don't know if you have seen this one.
Yeah, Sam
Negotiator from
Jackson.
Kevin.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah.
Like Samuel Jackson and Kevin Spacey, if I
Yeah,
remember correctly,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the sort of the movies that I watched at the time, okay, and that kind of
Sure.
started me off. And I think I followed a TV program in China, and that was called Learning English with Movies.
Oh, I like that. That's
Okay,
cool.
so
Yeah.
yeah, that was many years ago. Okay, so I stumbled across that show on TV, and I think that kind of started my, that was very that was really mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Well, I can actually learn something through movies, through watching
Right.
movies.
Something fun. You mean
It
language learning can actually
can be
be
fun, right? It's like
enjoyable?
studying is
Yeah.
fun.
It doesn't have to just suck all the time, you know? Yeah.
It's because to me, English is all about exam before. So it's all
Right.
about exams before. So yeah, that kind of introduced me to a whole new world,
Yeah,
if you like.
that's great. I'm so glad that you brought, because I think these like this idea that like if it's fun, it's not learning, and if it's painful, it's learning. And I get disgusted by that kind of philosophy where if it isn't boring and it isn't painful and tedious, then you're not really learning anything. And it's so funny because it's like when you really started learning is when you actually started enjoying the process and discovering English language movies and things like that where you can actually be entertained and also learn something along the way. That's a really
Exactly. Yeah, that's how
great
I felt.
epiphany.
That's exactly how I felt. So,
Yeah.
that was really mind-blowing to me at the time.
Yeah. I'm just
So,
picturing you.
going.
Sorry, I didn't to interrupt you. Just to get back. So you went to Australia, and you had a pretty like decent command of the language when you got there. You felt pretty comfortable with like
I
casual
wouldn't say
conversation.
that I had a really good dis com good dis command of the language. I still, I was able to, I guess I was able to order something in McDonald's. Yeah, so I didn't have to stop myself. That's, I think I would say that's the level I've gotten at the
Kind of a
time.
we
So
would call that like in ESL like a surface level of understanding where you can kind of navigate, you can get around in taxi, go straight, turn right, turn left. This is my house, this is my stop. Give me the two cheeseburgers with large fries, that kind of stuff. That's where
Probably
my
even
Korean
I
is right now, to be honest. I've been
oh,
stuck there
okay.
for a decade, so yeah.
So I couldn't even like name the correct cheeseburger that I wanted.
You can just
Yeah,
point.
I can order a cheeseburger. Yeah, I
Yeah.
you know the first thing I say is you can only say this one, that one, or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to get a straw, So in our language we call it a sucker. So the
So
funny
yeah,
thing
you
is,
don't want to ask
can
for a
I get a
sucker at
sucker?
McDonald's in Australia. You might get in trouble over there if
Yeah, can I get a sucker or something like that? So that's quite funny.
That is funny. Yeah, that's hilarious. So how long in Australia before you really started to like, feel like you were in your groove, really like making progress?
I think the first major change or you know, it's gone to a point where you realize that, okay, something have changed. Okay, so I have improved. Okay, that moment came, I think, about half year after I arrived in Australia, 6 months later.
Okay,
Okay.
6 months, yeah.
So I think the sentences that came out of my mouth was a little different. I think I can sort of use the relative clause in my sentences. So
Right.
that was a big change.
Yeah. This is the place where that's the person
This is a
who
place
you
where,
met.
yeah. So you can
Yeah.
actually add a little description after the noun.
Right.
And that was like a game changer. Okay, so you can
Yeah.
add significant amount of information to your to the things that you say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that because it's instead of short, choppy sentences all the time, you're able to, like you said, add description to a noun and to, build on that and make your sentences longer and longer. So
Yeah, it's got longer.
it's really funny that you bring up like relative clause because it's like you're going back to your grammar roots, in China where you learned about relative clauses, but you're like, now I can use a relative clause, which is,
Now I
that's a
really
totally
understand what
different
it
story.
means.
Yeah, and you know what it means. Exactly. Yeah.
And I understand why native speakers use it, okay?
Yeah.
Because you need depth in your language. You need more information, description, sort of
Absolutely.
stuff.
So yeah, I'm just, I'm thinking about your story is really making a lot of like I'm making a lot of connections to other students that I've met and that I've talked to and interviewed. They find that like when they I equate it to like learning the guitar or something. When you're learning the guitar or learning a language, you improve quickly in the beginning and then you hit a plateau and you get kind of stuck on this one level and you feel like you're never going to bump up another level. And then suddenly, one day out of the blue, like you said, you're just making sentences that are longer and more descriptive. And it kind of does that kind of light a fire within you to be like, wow, this makes me want to learn this even more because I'm seeing the improvements. Objectively,
Certainly. So I think I've got more confident after I know what I can do. But interestingly enough, like not long after that, I think I kind of hit another ceiling.
okay, that's
Yeah,
normal.
so
That's normal.
I
That's
stuck.
normal.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
I stuck there for it. So I can I think I passed that phase where I can only say very simple sentences. Okay, so I can have a more meaningful conversation with a native speaker. Okay, but I still I still not confident. I'm not confident enough in some of the more deep conversations.
Right.
So, and I think I kind of stuck there. It's just like you said, so yeah, that was a really good analogy, like learning guitar. So I kind of stuck there for a long time again.
Right.
Okay, I didn't see any improvements in my language. So I think that lasted about, I think, maybe a good 1 or 2 years. Okay, so that was kind
Yeah.
of suffered
But
because.
I want to just talk about this a little bit because I think I don't want our listeners to misunderstand that you felt like you're not making progress and maybe when it comes to like
Oh,
producing
yeah.
utterances but things were happening inside of your brain all during that entire period of time. There were you were immersed in English language. You were internalizing rules and patterns and things like that. You just weren't able to kind of convert it into utterances that were, speech perhaps. But I think that you were improving. I just think that like, it's part of the process is like you feel like you're stuck, but you're actually not. Things are happening. And progress is being made. It just might not be as obvious as perhaps we would want it to be, because we want, like, we in 2 weeks later we want to show people, look what I can do, but it takes a long time to get to that next level. And so I think a lot of people give up during that time, and it's sad because they are improving. It just maybe isn't showing the way that they want it to.
I think that that's a fair point because probably, I would have given up at a point, but I was not in China, I was in
You
another
couldn't give
country,
up.
so there's no way you can
You
give
were
up,
in
right?
you were
So
swimming with sharks, you were like sink or swim right here.
yeah, so that was that was so everything you do every time after you wake up, you have to speak English. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to do anything. So
Sure.
I kind of got lucky there. So at that point, you're in that environment, so there's no way you can give up. So
Yeah.
it kind of got me through that period where you feel a little disappointed about yourself, okay, about not
Sure.
making any progress.
So, Johnny, we talked about that your like long plateau that was like maybe 2 or 3 years, or maybe 1 or 2 years, you said, where you got kind of
One or
stuck.
two years,
Yeah. And so how long were you in Australia, by the way?
Just a couple of years, like 3 to 4 years,
Okay. And what did you like when you made that second jump up after that 1 to 2 year plateau? Were you able to like have deeper conversations with people? Did you feel like when you're sitting in a circle at a coffee table and they're, the native Australians are kind of, bantering back and forth, and you before you were kind of lost in the conversation. Did you feel like now you understood what was going on? You were able to understand kind of a more on a deeper level what they were talking about?
Actually no.
Okay.
Actually no, because you know Aussies, because they have this very strong Australian accent.
Right.
So, and sometimes they have their, it's like almost like they're not really speaking English, right? So their system's like totally different. They use different words,
They use a
so
lot of
there are
different
different
words.
slangs,
Yeah.
right? A lot of different slangs, Australian slang, so you'll not be able to get. So that was a problem there.
Sure.
Yeah, and no, you know the problem with overseas students. So the overseas students usually hang out with the overseas students.
Yes, that's
So
a
you
huge. We
really,
always tell them not. I always tell my students, don't hang
exactly.
out with your Korean friends. Like, don't do it.
I tell myself that, but it's just sometimes it's well, this is something you should do, but you just not be able to do it.
Right.
So
And
you
it's
just.
comfortable and it's familiar
It's
and
kind
it's
of, yeah, it's
comforting and
familiar, right? So,
it's so tempting. It's so tempting.
right. So when you talk to the native speakers and you hear so many words that you don't understand, it's just so frustrating, right?
Sure.
I guess it's frustrating for anybody. It's funny thing is I found my French classmates, they hang out with French as
Oh
well.
yeah,
That's what
this is
happened.
not. Yeah, this is not like a Korean or a Chinese. I don't want to say problem, but like situation. It's something that a lot of exchange students will do because when you're feeling lost and completely rudderless, just alone in the ocean. The first thing you're going to do is go towards something that's comfortable and familiar, and you're going to find people who are from your country, and you're going to latch onto them and hold on for dear life, because it's very scary, to do
Yeah,
that.
I guess because I think you probably share the same experience because you're in Korea, right?
Yep.
So you,
Yep.
so I
I
don't know about that when you
I
just
hung out with a
arrived,
lot
like,
of Americans and Canadians, and we went to a lot of places
yeah,
where there were a lot of other Canadians and Americans, and
exactly. So,
yeah,
yeah,
I guess I tell my students,
so.
do as I say, not as I do, so yeah.
That's basically what happens everywhere in the world. So I guess that's why I hit the second ceiling because I don't have enough conversations with the real native speakers. I go to classes. Okay, yeah, we use English in the classroom, and we'll probably do some group assignments together, and that's it. Okay,
Yeah.
so you don't actually so you had a lot of input.
But not enough output. I understand
Yes.
this like many years later. I don't understand the theory at the time.
Right. Not so many students don't understand the theory, and there are a lot of teachers have kind of older, I'm going to use a big word here, antiquated for our listeners out there. It just
What does
means like old-fashioned,
that mean? Old fashioned. Okay.
yeah,
Yeah.
old-fashioned kind of a philosophy on education where, the students are sitting in a desk pointed at the teacher and the teacher is speaking English to them, but they're supposed to, shut your mouth, be quiet, listen, and don't disturb my classroom,
You know what? That's the kind of educational system we've been using for more than 100 years,
I know
and still going.
it's still going. You could put a PPT, you can put a projector in a classroom, and but it's still, I still find myself standing in front of a room full of people with their chairs pointed at me, and I wonder to myself, why are we doing this, 100 years later? It's
Yeah.
terrible.
Oh yeah, I
So,
almost forgot you're a university teacher in
right, I
Korea.
teach university here in Korea, but yeah, it's still, the whole setup is very
The
familiar.
same.
Yeah, it's the same almost everywhere. So how do we get to Johnny today, with your wonderful eloquence and speaking ability?
I can only say I'm still learning.
Well,
Still a long way to go. Still a long way to go. Yeah.
sure. I mean, it's a never-ending journey. You're never going to get there. There is no final
Oh,
destination. There's always, even for me as a native speaker, there's still more words for me to learn and more things for me to read and understand and
definitely.
to but that's kind of the beauty of teaching, I find, is like you realize that the more you learn about something, you think that it's going to get closer to you, but as you look on the horizon, it just gets farther and farther away. It's like the deeper you go into English, the horizon is moving away from you. It's getting farther away, and you realize, oh, this is a never-ending process. And until, the day I die, I'll still be learning English,
That's,
and
yeah, we call that a lifelong learner. Okay, so you're
yep.
learning for a lifetime.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's a better way to look at yourself as or a better way to look at it than to say, oh, this is my destination, and when I get there, I'm going to stop. It's like, no, it's a be a lifelong learner is a much better way to think of yourself. So how did you get to where you are now? Like, what's your secret?
I think the second, so the, now that I'm coming to the second big game changer
Okay, right.
in my journey
Okay.
in Australia. Okay, so I got a part-time job at the time. Okay, so because I think, okay, so something has to change. Something
Yeah.
has to change. You have to work out your comfort zone. Sometimes you just have to push yourself a little to work out the comfort zone. So I found myself a part-time job there, which is salesperson at a mobile phone store.
Oh wow.
So
Okay.
yeah, so
Now you need some
and
technical English because
you have to learn, yeah, you have
you're
to
not
learn a
going to get
lot of
by with
technical
hamburger and yeah,
things. No,
that's not going to cut it. Yeah.
you're not getting away with those simple words. So because not only do you have to talk to the customer, okay, but you also have to sell your products, okay? Otherwise, you'll get fired.
Right.
So you not only have to speak to them, you have to sort of get them hooked, get them listen to you, so they'll buy things, right? So you sort of establish this kind of connection with them, okay?
Right.
So again, it really allows me to get into a deeper conversation with them, and because it's a paid job, right? So it's a paid job, so you're more serious about this. Not like you're fooling around
Right. It's not like the
with your mates,
classroom,
right?
project where you're joking around and, yeah.
So sort of
Absolutely.
forced myself to think about some of the grammar, some of the terms that I use. And I think I learned a ton from my colleagues. Okay, so I think one of my colleague is the boss son. Okay, he's like
Okay.
16 years old or something at the time. So actually he was using a lot of the teenager language, you
A lot of slang
know.
and
Still a lot of slangs, the teenager slang thing, and I still but still you learn a lot, you know, from that experience.
yeah. Actually, I think that might be the perfect kind of like practice partner is someone who's, they're not necessarily professional or established yet, so they're not intimidating. And, they're also probably way more relaxed and chill than like an older person might be, someone in their 40s, and so
So again,
much more
yeah,
comfortable.
much more comfortable, exactly. And I'm really thankful that he's not judging, because I'm not so fluent in English, you know. It's sometimes the teenagers, they're the they can be the some little demons, but they can also be the nicest person in the world. So,
Right.
you know, I just happened. I'm just so glad that I met the nicest person in the world. So
Yeah.
they're not judging. But it could be daunting sometimes, you know, to still face the customers, because they're gonna ask you questions, right? And
Absolutely.
they're they well, and I mean, I don't want to say this, but sometimes as customers, they don't they're not gonna forgive you because your native language is not English,
They're
right?
just going
Because
to get
they're
frustrated. They're going to complain.
Yeah, if you can't, yeah, they if you can't explain something thoroughly, they're just gonna get complaint. It's very natural.
Right. Well, it's a we call them that's a Karen behavior. As Social and I talked
You
about,
brought this up again.
yeah, one of our podcasts. Well, I mean, but you're gonna eventually you're gonna get a Karen. You know what I mean? Like you're gonna get someone who's gonna be very impatient and frustrated because maybe they're not gonna give you that extra like, I don't know, space to like kind of catch up in the conversation. They want to be understood immediately. And if you're not meeting their demands, they're going to start complaining. And so that could be scary.
It was, yeah. And I'm just gonna ask this on behalf of all our audience here. Are you a male Karen, Jack?
I'm like, to be honest, actually, I'm very far from a male Karen. I'm not a, I'm not, I don't I don't practice Karen-like behavior in my regular day. I'm pretty patient and pretty laid back when it comes to those things.
Yeah, I'm just
So,
joking, just playing.
so that sounds like that job, your part-time job was again, your philosophy is kind of like, I mean, I'm starting to see a pattern here in like your life. You decide to go to Australia, then you're like, oh, now I have to learn English, and then you're learning English in Australia and you're like, I'm gonna get a job. Oh my gosh, now I have to start speaking on a deeper level to these customers. It's like you put yourself in these situations that are very high stress, and then you rise to the occasion, which I think is, I mean, that's like a trait for of like very successful people will do that. They'll jump in first and then they'll be like, now I have to figure this out. Whereas cautious people will, I'm gonna study for 10 years and then maybe I'll apply for that job. It's much better to just do it your way, right? Just jump in and go for
Well,
it. Sink or swim.
I got lucky, right? I got lucky that I had this opportunity. My family has been able to support me financially, which allows me to go to another country to study. So that's sort of, you know, when you're in this country, when you're in this environment, so it sort of take away your safe net, so you don't have the safe net to fall back on. So you have to.
And but it doesn't have to be extreme like what you did. I mean, what you did is pretty extreme. But I'm gonna say to our listeners out there, it's also scary to introduce yourself to a native speaker. If you see one in your neighborhood, like that's scary. But you know what? Go introduce yourself. Just take that leap of faith. And so that's like kind
Absolutely,
of doing it on like a micro level of what you did. And you don't have to move to Australia. You don't have to get a job at selling mobile phones. But you could just introduce yourself to someone who speaks English, try to befriend that person, and that could be another avenue to success that doesn't require money. It might require a little bit of time and energy, and you know,
Exactly. Yeah.
but I think these little things are, there are little ways to do, to take risks that will actually benefit you.
Yes, totally agreed. Yeah. So I think it has to, I heard this phrase, you have to start somewhere, right? Everything has to start somewhere. So I think it's it's really crucial that thing is better if you're determined to learn this language, you better start somewhere. So whether that's a really simple sentence, maybe just saying hello, just like you said, saying hello to the foreigner in your neighborhood. Yeah, something, they're not gonna eat you, right? So why not? Why
They're not
not?
gonna eat you. That's, I like that.
No, why
That's
not?
true. That's fascinating. And so what do you, are you a teacher now? Is that, if I'm not
I
mistaken?
am. Yeah, I am a teacher. I'm an IELTS teacher. So I think from that, from that mobile phone job many years ago, I found my interest in learning the language and speaking the language. So I wound up in different jobs later, So that's a long story. But anyway, so eventually I was able to, found my true interest, which is language and language teaching, I guess.
That's
So I
amazing.
am a teacher now. Yeah.
I love your story. I think it's fantastic, and I think it's very inspiring. A lot of our listeners out there are going to appreciate it, and I think some of them have had similar experiences, and maybe, you know, like you said, a lot of it is luck too, right? The fact that you met the right people at the right time. But, you know, if you put yourself out there, opportunities are, they're floating around, you know, and if you don't try, you 100% chance of failure. So, you know,
Exactly.
you got to take, you got to take a risk. So Johnny, you're interested in podcasting, if I'm not mistaken. This is something that you're kind of aspiring to do. And you said you had some questions for
And
me,
not
so
only
yeah.
not yes and thank you, Jack, for actually I want to thank you to inviting me. Thank you for inviting me today here so I could be on the show and ask you about all these questions.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you're saying that exactly. I'm interested in starting a podcast. Yeah, I've been thinking about that for a long time, and actually not only podcasting, because I'm actually quite new to podcasting because it's not the I guess it's not as popular as it is in basically outside China. Okay, so in China
And
it's
these
not a
days,
thing.
it's always evolving, because what I've noticed is that podcasting without YouTubing or being a YouTuber, in China, Bilibili, you know, without doing something like that, you know, people want to be able to see you and listen to you. That's what I've come to realize, is that they really want to see and listen. And
Exactly.
so I would recommend, if you do, you know, if I were to do it all over again, I would have made more of an effort to be a podcaster slash like YouTuber, and really put the effort into like the video as well, which we haven't, you know, for the last couple of years. We've been mostly just an audio podcast. I mean, I don't know how you've did, how did you find us, by the way?
Yeah, that's an interesting word as well. I think I first stumbled across your channel on the channel on Bilibili. Okay, so I was because I was trying to find some of the materials for my students, right? Because I don't think they have enough input, so I think they should listen to more of the native speaker conversations. And well, trust me, I've tried a few, a bunch of all different, I've tried different things. Okay. Try different channels. Okay. So, but because I teach IELTS speaking, right? So in IELTS speaking, it's sort of a, it's very conversational English, right? So a lot of students are familiar with the sort of a monologue type of speech type of English,
More
right?
TOEIC or something like that, where it's like a kind of presentational or something, like a like a like a
Presentational, yeah, something
I
like that,
understand.
right? So, but not enough, the conversational English. So
Right.
that's where I came across your channel, and I think, whoa, this is just fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
So
Because we
these are
are the
just
least like
two,
academic of the podcasts that I've come across.
and that happened to be exactly what I needed.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. It makes us, it kind of validates, things for Sochal and me, because we have kind of found our lane, in which is it's not the most beautiful, polished, kind of podcast, but we do just love to have like real, genuine conversations with each other. And I feel like that's something that's missing. It's everything's all planned out. It's so clean and so crisp. And conversation is messy and ugly sometimes. It's not, it's not this like
Yeah, but that's,
beautiful.
well, it doesn't have language doesn't have to be beautiful. Yeah, that's my take.
Yeah, exactly. We can't all be Shakespeare. It's not all poetry,
No.
So if you were, if I were in your shoes, well, let me ask you a couple of questions first. Are you thinking of
Okay.
doing like an IELTS style podcast or something? Are you going to
Well,
focus on something specific
yeah.
like that?
Jack, that's where I got stuck. That's kind of where I got stuck because there are many people, many competitors out there who are doing this kind of content already. Okay,
Right.
so if I were to do it now, okay, would I be able to ever compete with them because they started earlier? Okay, so. And in doing that, I kind of limit myself to for this group of audience that they are only interested in IELTS learning, and this kind of small group of people, you should know that. Yeah. So that's what that's what I'm worrying about. Okay. So I in a way, I don't want to limit myself to only this group of audience. So I want a bigger audience, but.
Yeah,
If
exactly.
it's not too greedy.
No, you got to be greedy, because there's only, there's only so much bandwidth out there that people have, for this kind of content. And I mean, Sochal and I, we're still plugging away 2 years later, and we've made some progress, but there are times where downloads are not as good as some months, and we wish we were more successful, like some of the bigger ESL podcasts. But we stayed, we try to be genuine, we try to be authentic, we try to be true to ourselves and what we enjoy doing. And I guess that's what I think that's my the best advice I could give you, is find out like what do you authentically enjoy doing, like what are
Yeah.
you, if teaching a lesson is your thing, then you could take some of your lessons from your IELTS class, and you could actually, convert those into like podcast form, and do it that way. If you're a conversationalist, because it's already been 45 minutes and we've been talking, so we're having this great conversation. So you could go down that lane, and or you could do all of those things, and just and see what clicks with the audience as well. Because once you get something that people like, you have to follow that, follow that lead, that trail, because they're telling you what they want, and you have to follow it, sniff it out.
I know it's well, it's a lot about doing the right thing, the right time, and so I guess videos, the short videos are a thing, since TikTok, I guess. So yeah, so at a point, I was thinking about maybe I should do TikTok. Should I do TikTok or YouTube? Or because YouTube isn't really available in China. So should I be a YouTuber? Or so then a lot of things you have to take into consideration at the moment. So
But I would tell you, honestly, do it for a while because you'd love to do it. And don't worry about the downloads and the success, because if you find that you really enjoy doing it. Like for me, this is like very much a kind of a hobby. I always call it a jobby. It's a jobby. It's like a
Okay. Is that a
it's
word?
I just made that up, but it's
Okay.
between it's something that I would love to do and generate income and survive on, but I'm not there yet. But I keep doing it not for money or for fame or anything like that. I just really enjoy it. It's just something that is really, really good. And I think it's you're doing something good for it. You're not just wasting people's time. You're actually giving them something that they need, which
True,
is,
true.
more, content for language learning. 'Cause I think there can never be enough of that, to be honest. In my opinion, because people are always looking for more ways to learn English, and they're connecting with certain personalities, and you may just resonate with certain people, but I would, follow
Exactly,
your
yeah.
instincts, be yourself, don't try to be, somebody else. I tried that in the beginning of podcasting, where I tried to have a better broadcasting voice, but the truth is, I stammer and I repeat myself, and I,
Just be yourself.
I do all that kind of stuff, and
Yeah.
that's just who I am, and if people don't like it, then they'll tune out. But I think people will forgive you if they think you're being authentic and genuine as a presenter, as a podcaster.
Yeah, I think being genuine, that's really crucial. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot, well, I shared the link of your podcast to many of my students, and I think they think it's absolutely fantastic,
Oh
right? So
man.
like a
Thank you
lot
so
of my
much.
students being listening to, well, thank you, Jack. Well, thank you for
Yeah.
creating such a great all these great content. Okay, thank you for you and socials and Kevin's effort. We were listening to some of these earlier episodes
Yeah.
where you featured Kevin and I mean maybe someone else that I don't remember the name of. Yeah,
Yeah,
but
you're
this is
going into the
truly
deep cuts.
inspirational.
Yeah, we had some really good conversations at the beginning. Kevin and I started it together, and then he got too busy, and Social was a guest on our podcast, and then she became a full-time
Oh,
podcasting
okay.
partner. So yeah, just kind of funny how that happens. Thank you, Johnny. It means a lot to us. And thank you so much for spreading the word. And for our listeners out there, this was my conversation with Johnny. If Johnny gets a podcast started, I will be the first to promote it to all our
Thank
listeners
you.
out
Thank you,
there.
Jack. That
Of
means
course,
a
of
lot to me.
course. And if you
Thank you,
guys want to
Jack.
listen to this episode, go to our website, A2ZEnglishPodcast.com. If you want to leave us a message, you can send us an email at A2ZEnglishPodcast@gmail.com. You can talk to us in our WhatsApp group or in our WeChat group for our Chinese listeners out there. And with that said, Johnny, thanks again, man. And
Thank
listeners,
you.
we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.